Good evening. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. If you're using a pew Bible, that'll be on page 222. Ruth chapter 2, let us now turn our attention to the reading of God's word. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Bow with me in prayer. Almighty God, may you illumine this word to us by your Spirit, that we might see Christ for us and for our salvation. Amen. You may be seated. Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. These are the words that Naomi spoke at the end of chapter 1. This is where we left Naomi, in bitterness and in emptiness. If you remember, Naomi had left the land of Israel with her husband and two sons when there was a famine, and they had gone to sojourn in the land of Moab. And while there, Elimelech dies. Naomi's two sons take wives from the Moabite people, and then her two sons die. So that Naomi is left with nobody except her two daughters-in-law. She returns at the end of chapter one with just her daughter, Ruth. She seemingly lost everything. And so the problem at the start of this book, at the end of chapter one, is the bitterness and emptiness of Naomi. She has no husband. She has no sons. She has no one to protect her, no one to provide for her. She has no land, no stake in Israel. And the name of Elimelech is about to be wiped out. Seems at the end of chapter one that there is no hope. That's where we find ourselves then here at the beginning of chapter two. In verses 1-7, we read how Ruth happens upon a chance field. Verses 1-7, Ruth happens upon a chance field. Reading again, verse 1 says, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man, of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." That word worthy there is a Hebrew word that does include the idea of worthiness, but also carries with it this sense of wealth and of influence. This man, Boaz, is someone who is the exact opposite of what we found at the end of chapter 1 with Naomi. Here's a man who is full. He's wealthy. He has fields. He has influence in the land of Israel, unlike Naomi. Not only that, though, he is of the clan of Elimelech. Seems like this man might be just what Naomi and Ruth need. And the question is, how will Boaz figure into this story? Well, the narrator introduces him and then moves right on to verse 2. There, Ruth speaks to Naomi and asks her to allow her to go out and to glean in the fields, to find a field in whose sight she shall find favor, find a field owned by one in whose sight she shall find favor. What's going on here is this ancient Israelite practice of gleaning, and the gleaning laws that are written about in Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 24. There, God had made provision for the poor among Israel by commanding that those who owned fields would leave the edges of their fields untouched so that the poor could come and gather food from there. And if, as they were gleaning, they happened to leave some grain on the ground or it happened to fall, they were not supposed to pick it up. They were supposed to allow the poor to come and gather what they needed from those scraps left over. Now, this gleaning that Ruth is asking for, it's not going to make her rich. It's not going to give her an abundance of food. One commentator comments that it's like trying to eke out a survival by recycling aluminum cans. Like, just maybe she can get enough to survive, but it's going to be barely enough. But Naomi lets her. She lets her go out into the field, and she goes out and is gleaning and following the reapers. And we read in verse 3 that she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. She just happened to come to this field. In the Hebrew, it's actually even stronger language than that. It's something like, as her luck happened to fall, she came to the field of Boaz. That's interesting. But the narrator moves on to verse 4. We see here that she comes to this field and she is gleaning in this field of Boaz, but where is this owner of the field? Well, he appears in verse 4. In verse 4, Boaz came from Bethlehem and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Here we see the character of this man, Boaz. For one, he is, like we read in verse 1, a worthy, a wealthy, an influential man. He owns fields. He has reapers below him who are doing the work of gathering the produce from the fields. He's also a God-fearer. This would probably have been a common way to greet one another, saying something along the lines of "the Lord be with you," but it's a recognition that God has not left this story. And this man, Boaz, is a man who fears the Lord. Well, Boaz is looking out at his fields, and one of the people out in the fields catches his eye. We don't know exactly what it was about Ruth that caught his eye. Maybe she, being a Moabite, looked different from the other reapers there, or the other ones following the reapers. And so he asks the person in charge of the fields, "Who is this woman?" And the head of the reapers tells him that, well, this is Ruth. This is that one that the whole town has been talking about, who came back with Naomi from Moab and has stayed with her here in Israel, in Bethlehem. Not only that, he says that Ruth had come to him and had asked, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers." So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. And so here we see Ruth's character. Remember, from chapter 1, we already know that she is a woman of steadfast love, of kindness towards Naomi. She is stuck with her mother-in-law. She has chosen to return with her, despite having seemingly no reason to do so. And now we see that she has gone out, done back-breaking work, asked permission to enter into the field and to glean as much as she can, because she not only needs to support herself, she has to support her elderly mother-in-law. Question then we have to ask is this the life that is consigned for Ruth? Is this all that she's going to get for the rest of her life, just to go field to field, to work from morning till evening, to gather a little bit of grain and just hope that it's enough to feed her and Naomi each evening? Well, in verses 8 through 16, we read how the Lord is Ruth's refuge. Verses 8 through 16, we see how the Lord is Ruth's refuge. Boaz speaks directly to Ruth. And he gives her blessing, protection, and provision. In verses 8 through 9, he refers to her as "my daughter." It's a word of tenderness towards Ruth. And he allows her to stay in his field with his female servants. In fact, he warns her not to go out to other fields, but to stay in his own. He ensures her physical safety by promising that his young men would not touch her, would not be harmful towards her or gruff with her, that she wouldn't have anything to fear while she is in his fields. And not only that, he allows her to go and to draw water from the vessels that his young men have drawn from. In this time, to draw water, that would have been the job of a servant or of a foreigner. It would have been the job of a woman to do. But here is Ruth being allowed as a foreigner, as a woman, to go and to drink water drawn for her. Boaz is going above and beyond what the law has called for him to do. The law just told him to leave some grain for the poor to pick up. But he has provided protection and abundance for Ruth. And so Ruth responds in verse 10 saying, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Remember, this is what Ruth was looking for back in verse 2 and 3. She was looking to find in the fields someone who would be favorable towards her, someone who would show some kindness to her to allow her to glean in their fields. And she has found exceeding favor in the eyes of Boaz. More than what she was looking for. She's being treated not as a foreigner, She's being treated as a member of Boaz's household. Boaz responds that he has heard everything that Ruth has done for her mother-in-law. There in verse 11, he recites what Ruth has experienced through chapter 1. Ruth, in the midst of all her suffering, was faithful to her mother-in-law and trusted in the Lord. She left her land. She left her people. She went to a land that was not her land and a people that was not her people and trusted that the God of Israel would be her God. And so Boaz blesses her in verse 12, saying, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz blesses Ruth, that the Lord would repay Ruth and give her a full reward. And he declares that Ruth has found refuge in the Lord. God, the God of Israel, is her God. That language of the wings of refuge, it one brings out this idea of protection. With hens, when they are protecting their young, when there's some threat coming, what they will often do is spread their wings so that their chicks will stay protected behind them as they take the brunt of whatever the attack is, whatever the danger is. And so that language comes with protection, and it also comes with strength. In the ancient Near East, deities were often depicted with wings as a sign of their strength and freedom and power. This is what God is to Ruth. This is what Yahweh is to this foreigner, a protector and a source of strength for her. Ruth recognizes that she has found favor despite not deserving any of it. She's a foreigner, and she's not even one of Boaz's servants. She has no name in Israel. She has no claim to the promises of God made to Abraham and the patriarchs. And yet, she has found protection in the Lord and found favor in his sight. Just imagine yourself in her situation. At the beginning of chapter 2, there's just a sliver of hope. Maybe I'll find a field where I can gather enough to provide for Naomi and myself. And now what has she found? She has found not just that sliver of hope, but exceeding favor, unexpected kindness. This truly is a turning point in the book of Ruth. And so we read that she is allowed to sit at the table with Boaz and with his servants, even to eat cooked food with them, to be able to drink wine and enjoy bread. And it says there in verse 14 that she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. She eats, is satisfied, and has an abundance of food. God has not just met her needs, the Lord has exceeded them. Well, Ruth returns back to Naomi, and as she is finishing her gleaning, Boaz instructs the young men to not just merely let her glean, but to actually leave out more grain for her so that she can have plenty to bring back to Naomi. He's going beyond what's required of him. He's purposely going above and beyond to provide in abundance for Ruth. So that Ruth returns in verses 17 through 23 with an abundant provision. In verses 17 through 23, Ruth is left with an abundant provision. In verse 17, we read that she gleaned in the field until evening and then beat out what she had gleaned, and it was an ephah of barley. That measure right there, an ephah of barley, is beyond what anyone could possibly glean normally. Once again, the narrator is highlighting for us just the abundance, the great provision that she has received from the Lord, far beyond what is ordinarily expected. So that when she returns, Naomi is surprised. Naomi is amazed at what she has brought back. She asks, "Where did you glean today? Where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Naomi recognizes that Ruth could not have received this were it not for the steadfast love of someone else. Someone has shown her favor that goes beyond what either of them expected to be shown. Ruth tells her of who has come and who has blessed her. She says that it is Boaz, and so Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." And Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Naomi, recognizing the great provision of the Lord, blesses Boaz, blesses this unforeseen kindness. That word kindness there again is that word that is more than just merely being nice to another. It's loyal, steadfast love shown to another. This is what has been shown to Naomi and to Ruth. And not only that, this man is a redeemer. In the Old Testament law, there was a provision made for the case where someone was so poor that they had to sell their land. If you remember, having land in Israel, that was how the promise stayed with the family. And so to ensure that people would not lose their land forever, there was this law that we read about in Leviticus 25 where a close kin of that poor person who had to sell their land, that person could redeem the land for them and perpetuate the name of that poor person in Israel. This is who Boaz is. And not only that, this is a man who seems to have the means to redeem Ruth and Naomi. He's a wealthy man. And he also has the character of one who we would expect to redeem Ruth and Naomi. He's shown kindness to them and favor. Ruth recognizes how he has protected her and how Boaz has protected her and provided for her while she gleans. And then we read in verse 23, "So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law." Boaz is a redeemer. We have this crescendo of hope. Maybe now Ruth and Naomi have a chance of receiving release from their time of oppression. But then we read at the end that the barley and wheat harvests have ended. Their source of food, their source of provision, it's coming to an end. And not only that, Ruth, well, she still lives in her mother-in-law's house. Boaz may be a redeemer, but there hasn't been any movement towards redemption by the end of this story. And Ruth, she still doesn't have rest in the house of her husband. We end this chapter with so many questions and so much uncertainty. How will these blessings that have been proclaimed in this chapter, how will they come about? And now that the harvest has ended, how will Ruth and Naomi provide for themselves? And yet we can recognize that at the end of chapter 2, we are at a far different place than where we were at the end of chapter 1. Unlike the bitterness and the emptiness of Naomi at chapter 1, we have food and protection, provision, and just maybe, the possibility of redemption. How could all of this happen? How could Ruth and Naomi have gone from the emptiness and bitterness of chapter 1 to then so much blessing here in the space of just one chapter? We'll look again at this chapter. Remember again verse 3. Ruth just happened to come to the field. Her luck just happened to fall where she found Boaz's field. And not only that, it was Boaz's field that she happened to have come across. It could have been any number of redeemers. It could have been one of the other kinsmen of Elimelech. But she came to the field of this man who is wealthy and gracious towards her. And not only that, Boaz shows steadfast love to Ruth and to Naomi by protecting them and caring for them and providing in abundance for them. And then look at verse 20 at what Naomi says. She says, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Whose kindness? Is it Boaz's or is it the Lord's? Well, in the Hebrew, it's left ambiguous. It's not clear exactly who the subject of that is, and I think that's on purpose. What we have seen through this chapter, through the kind acts of Ruth towards Naomi and Boaz towards Ruth, is ultimately the work of the Lord. That he, in the background of this chapter, has been orchestrating all things. Indeed, as Boaz has proclaimed to Ruth, she has found refuge in the wings of the Lord. Indeed, Naomi has experienced God's steadfast love in chapter 1 through Ruth, and now she has experienced it through Boaz as well. The Lord has been governing and ordering all of Naomi and Ruth's actions. He has provided protection. He is the one who has provided this favor towards them. He is the one who has provided food to them. So much so that Ruth can eat, be satisfied, and have leftovers. No miracles have happened in this chapter. There's been no direct revelation from God. The characters they speak about God in this chapter, but the narrator never explicitly says that God did anything in this chapter. Brothers and sisters, oftentimes this is what our life can look like. When you're hungry, what do? Well, you just go to the grocery store and get some food. If you're thirsty, well, you just turn on the tap and drink a glass of water. If you're sick, you go to the pharmacy and pick up some medicine. It just seems all so ordinary. But do not forget that God, who is holy, wise, and powerful, is preserving and governing you and all your actions. And for Christians, this is a comfort. Brothers and sisters, are you in a time of ease? Are you in a time of trial? In whatever station of life you find yourself in, know that God provides for his people. And when you doubt God's goodness, remember that God provided his Son, Jesus Christ, for you. Ruth was a foreigner who was entitled to nothing, yet Boaz treated her like a member of his household. Christian, you were a stranger and alien to the people of God and to his promises, and you deserved nothing from God. And yet hear what we read in Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" The Father, for no merit in you, gave up his son for you. He did not spare Jesus Christ, but sent him to the cross to die on your behalf for the forgiveness of sins, and raised him for your justification. He did not spare his son. How will he not provide all things for you? Most of all, we have the Holy Spirit who unites us to Christ and makes us to share in every spiritual blessing in Christ. comfort in the gospel, love, joy, peace, the righteousness of Christ, sanctification, hope in life and death, all this and much more is yours. So that in Ephesians 1:3 we read that the Father has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God has not just met your needs, he has given you an abundance of blessings in Christ. And yet there's still times of uncertainty like there is here with Ruth and Naomi. Times when there is lack. God has not promised to provide every material desire of your heart. And God does not ultimately owe you anything. And yet you can trust that he loves you and that he provides for you exactly what you need. So that our Lord Jesus Christ can tell us to not be anxious for anything. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? We don't need to ask these questions in anxious worry. For our Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Your Father knows what you need. So have no fear, Christian. Indeed, as Calvin tells us, for the believer, for the Christian, a special providence is awake for his preservation and will not suffer anything to happen that will not turn to his good and safety. If you think about it, Ruth just merely gleaning in a field is an integral part of the story of redemption that culminates in Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, you too are a part of that story. This is a comfort that is open this day to all people who come to Christ alone and trust in him in faith. So come this day and find a refuge under the wings of the Lord. God provided for Ruth. God provided for Naomi. Brothers and sisters, God did not spare his son, Jesus Christ, but gave him up for you. How will he not provide all things? So that you can be confident that God is your refuge and will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Almighty and Heavenly Father, you provide for the sparrows of the sky and the lilies of the field, and we are of more value to you than the sparrows and the lilies. Indeed, you did not spare your son, but gave him up for us so that by your spirit we might share abundantly in every spiritual blessing. Give us greater faith to trust in you now, knowing that you can provide infinitely more than we ask or we think. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our great provider. Amen.